Okay, now we come to the second half of this psalm, and we come to Roman numeral 6. And Roman numeral 6 says, Psalm 68 reveals the enjoyment of God in his house. Amen. Have you enjoyed God this weekend?
Amen.
That's because we are in his house.
Amen.
We are in the church. The church is, according to 1 Timothy 3:15, the church is the house of the living God.
Amen.
The church is the house of God, the church of the living God, the pillar and base of the truth. So the church is the house of God, and we have the enjoyment of God in his house in a special way. We couldn't have, if you would have stayed home this weekend, there's no way you would have enjoyed God the way you enjoyed God this weekend. Am I right? Because we are in his house enjoying God together. Now, brothers and sisters, I would just like to point out to you that do you want to solve every problem of yours? Do you want to overcome every enemy?
Yes.
Okay, how do we solve every... okay, how do... Pardon me? Okay, no, I have a different answer for you. Okay, the way we overcome every problem, solve every problem, and overcome every enemy is, number one, stay in the local church. Stay in the body of Christ. That's number one. Stay in the church life. Stay in the local church. Stay in the body life. Stay in the body of Christ. And number two, praise the Lord.
Amen.
So you stay in the local church. You stay in the body of Christ. You stay in the church life. And you praise the Lord. This is the way every problem is solved. This is the way every enemy is overcome. Now, that's very simple, right? Stay in the church and praise the Lord. Now, I would like to read you something that touched me very much. It's from the book, Christ and the Church as Revealed and Typified in the Psalms, which I would encourage you to buy. If you don't have this book, it's marvelous. We've got a lot of the material on these outlines. It's from the life study of the Psalms, and it's from Christ and the Church as Revealed and Typified in the Psalms. So I would like to read you something from Christ and the Church as Revealed and Typified in the Psalms that addresses this point, how to overcome every problem, how to solve every problem, and overcome every enemy. Okay, this is Brother Lee speaking here. He was the author of this book. He said, I filled many notebooks with ways and methods of being an overcoming Christian. One day I threw them all away. There were so many good instructions, concepts, teachings, and suggestions, and I greatly appreciated them. But one day I began to realize that by coming into the local church and staying in the local church, every problem is solved and every enemy is overcome. It is so wonderful. I cannot tell you how wonderful it was. When I stayed in the local church, the world was gone. My temper was gone, and my problems disappeared. I hope your temper was gone this weekend. Okay, I'm speaking from actual experience. I've been learning this for over 30 years. I've tried many methods and ways. I searched the Bible to find the will of God. Eventually, that did not work, and I found nothing. But when I came into the local church and stayed there, the will of God was spontaneously made clear. I tried to solve my problems as an individual again and again, but could never overcome. When I stayed in the local church, however, all the enemies fled.
Amen.
Saints, I don't know about you, but I feel like all the enemies fled this weekend.
Amen.
I had no intention of defeating them. They all fled. From my experience, I can boldly testify and declare that the best way to solve your problems, to overcome your enemies, to know the Lord's will, and to obtain the Lord's blessing is simply to stay in the local church and praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now listen to this. Just do it.
Amen.
Just try it. Just try it. It's worth a try, right? Just do it. Just try it. This one kind of medicine heals all kinds of diseases. And I can testify that this is true. In the early years of my ministry, I had many points to pass on to others. A sister came to me 35 years ago and asked how she could overcome her temper. I replied, "Sister, firstly, you must do this. Secondly, you must do that. Thirdly, fourthly, fifthly, sixthly, until there were 12 points. Go home and practice all these 12 points, and you will overcome your temper." It was a hard job. About 10 years later, others came with the same question. The number of points was then reduced to about 6. Then after a few years, the points were reduced further to 3. Today, I will not give you 12 points, not 6, not 3, but only 1. Just come into the local church, stay in the local church, and praise the Lord.
Amen.
All your problems will be solved spontaneously. Believe me, I cannot tell you what kind of revelation this is to me. I would tell the entire universe that I have the secret. It is so prevailingly, tremendously effective. Come to the local church and praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's say that together. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. For all your problems, the best way to pray to the Lord is to come to the local church and praise the Lord. In God's dwelling place, in the local church, the Lord does not supply us little by little. He loads us with good. He applies his victory over all our enemies. We'll see this, that in the next verse it says, "Blessed be the Lord who day by day loads us with good." And the good there is God himself. Okay, in the years 1939 and 1940, Brother Watchman Nee saw the body of Christ with great clarity. I have mentioned how he released some messages on this matter, telling us definitely that spiritual warfare is not an individual matter, but a matter of the body. If you as an individual attempt to defeat the enemy, you will to a great extent be defeated by him. You must realize that the battle has already been won.
Amen.
There is no need for you to fight it. If you simply place yourself in the body in a practical way and remain in the body, the victory is yours. Okay, when you bring all the problems to the church, they are spontaneously solved. Do not keep your friends in your hands in an individual way. Bring them into the church. In the church, God loads us with good. In the church, he applies his victory. Are you sorrowful? Then what should you do? Yes, come to the church meetings.
Amen.
Don't say, "Oh, I'm sorrowful. I can't come to the church meeting like this." No, bring your sorrow to the church meeting. Do not attempt to encourage yourself and overcome your problems. Bring all your sorrows to the local church and tell the enemy, Satan, to go with you to the meeting. Say, "Satan, you're bothering me. Come with me to the meeting." If your wife is angry, just tell her, "Dear, let's go to the church." Don't try to solve your problems in your home and then come to the church. You will be frustrated. Tell all the enemies and all the problems, "Come with me to the meeting." I have had many experiences like this. As soon as I have come into the entrance of the meeting hall, the enemies and problems have fled. They followed me to the meeting, but when I entered the meeting, they turned and left. I have learned how to save much time in reading books. Coming to one meeting is better than reading 10 books. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Now, saints, I read this as a young believer, as a new believer in the local church. I read this. And I thought, "Oh, this is wonderful. Just come to the local church and praise the Lord." Well, one day I was having a really bad day, a really hard day, and I didn't want to go to the meeting. And so I didn't want to follow these instructions. Just tell Satan. It even says, tell the enemy Satan to go with you to the meeting. You know, so Satan was bothering me all day. And this brother called me on the phone. He said, "Ed, I'm coming to pick you up. Let's go to the meeting. See you later." Click. I went, "Oh, Lord Jesus, now I've got to go to the meeting. I've got to go to the meeting. I can't call the brother back up and tell him I'm not going to the meeting. I can't do that. So the brother came, picked me up, and the enemy was bothering me, just bothering me the whole time. And we got to the meeting hall, and then I said, okay, brother, just go in the door. I've got something to do. And so I went to the side of the meeting hall, and I said, Satan, you've been bothering me all day. Now, I'm going to make you go into the meeting hall with me, and you're going to have to sit on the front row with me. So I went into the meeting hall. I sat on the front row, and by the end of the meeting, I was praising the Lord.
Amen.
And Satan fled. Satan fled. So bring all your problems to the meeting and praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus. We have brought all the problems to the meetings and they have disappeared. So we just praise. Verse 24 says, they have seen thy goings, O God, the goings of my God, my King in the sanctuary. Who has seen his goings? They, the enemies, the problems, they have seen his goings in the sanctuary. This is real praise. Sometimes I have actually praised the Lord in this way. Lord, all my enemies have followed me to the entrance of the meeting hall, and when I came in, they all ran away. They have seen thy goings in the local church. Isn't this wonderful? Okay, I don't know how much more to read. Maybe I'll just read that much. But saints, come to the local church and praise the Lord.
Amen.
Then all your problems will be solved and all your enemies will be overcome. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Okay, very good. Now B says, blessed be the Lord, I love this, who day by day loads us with good. God is our salvation, Selah, Selah. Saints, blessed be the Lord. It doesn't say who every other day loads us with good. It doesn't say who week by week loads us with good. It doesn't say meeting after meeting loads us with good, although that's true. It says, blessed be the Lord who day by day loads us with good. God, God, the next word is God, because the good there is God. To be loaded with good is to be loaded with God. Every day, the first thing in the morning, we need to say, Lord, I open my entire being to you without reservation. Load me with good, Lord.
Amen.
Load me with yourself as my salvation. God is my salvation, Selah. And Selah, the word Selah means a pause in the recitation to allow the accompanying music to swell. It's a pause in the recitation to allow the accompanying music to come to a crescendo. Come to a crescendo. Isn't that wonderful? Blessed be the Lord who day by day loads us with good. God is our salvation. I'm sorry, I'm not a good singer, so I can't do it, you know. You know, anyway. Come to a crescendo. He loads us with good. Okay, what is the good here? The good here is the dove wings covered with silver and its pinions covered with greenish yellow gold. So again, you have the dove wings, you have the Spirit with his moving power, you have the silver, you have Christ the Son and his judicial redemption, you have the pinions, which is the flying and soaring power of the Spirit, covered with greenish yellow glittering gold, which is God and his divine nature, glittering with his divine life and his divine glory. So you have the entire triune God flying and soaring in your spirit, soul, and body, and flying and soaring out of you into others to dispense himself into others for the building up of the body of Christ. Now, Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good. Now, brothers and sisters, people quote this, but they quote this in the wrong way. You know, you get a flat tire. You say, all things work together for good. I'll get four new tires. And then you wreck your car. All things work together for good. Oh, I'll get a Maybach. You know what a Maybach is, right? You know what a Maybach is? I'm sorry, my son showed me a Maybach once. I was in Newport Beach. You know, Newport Beach, the cars there are like, whoa, you know. You just, wow, look at that car, look at that car. You know, Lamborghini drives by you. You can't believe. My son said, Dad, that's a Maybach there. And I said, what's a Maybach? And you know what a Maybach is? You know what it is, Ricky. You know what it is. Ruth looked it up on the internet, you know what I mean, so I could look at it. It goes anywhere from $300,000 to $600,000. Can you believe that? You can buy in Southern California, you can buy one house with it. You can buy, you know, housing in Southern California is really big. Probably in Texas, you can buy three houses. But anyway, that's not the good here. That's not the good here. The good here is the triune God. All things work together with good to those who what? Who love God, who are called according to his purpose. Then it says we're conformed to the image of his son. So the good here is that we would be conformed to the image of God's son. And so that we would be transformed and conformed to the image of God's son with the elements and royal ingredients of the triune processed and consummated triune God. Isn't that wonderful? That is the good here in this verse. Now, saints, what the Lord wants to recover is the day-by-day church life, the day-by-day church life. And in the training, I wrote these verses on the board, and actually I had them written out, but I'll just, for those of you who want them, I'll just write them on the board here for you. Firstly, I think I've got about 10 verses. Firstly, you have 2 Corinthians 4:16. And 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying. Isn't your outer man decaying? My outer man is decaying, right? There used to be a time when I didn't have gray hair. But now I have gray hair. That shows my outer man is decaying, right? I used to be single, just like that. I have 4 boys, right? My outer man's not just like that. But it seems like, just like that. Time goes so fast. Our outer man is decaying. Yet our inner man, that's our soul, that's our spirit as our life and person with our soul as its organ. Our inner man is being renewed with the fresh supply of the resurrection life day by day. Amen. Day by day. We want to be renewed with the fresh supply of resurrection life day by day. And we need to pray, Lord, recover my day by day church life. Saints, I want to tell you something, and I've said this repeatedly again and again. Saints, one statement really, really touches me, and that's this statement. You only have today, you don't have tomorrow. You only have today, you don't have tomorrow. Just enjoy the Lord one day at a time. The enemy always tries to get us thinking about tomorrow. Maybe right now, the enemy's trying to get you to think about, oh no, what's going to happen on Monday? On Monday I have a test. On Monday I have to go to work. On Monday I have to do this. On Monday I have to do that. Well, forget about Monday. You're here right now. Amen. Let's enjoy the Lord right now. Amen. We only have today. We don't have tomorrow. So let's enjoy the Lord one day at a time. Okay, now secondly, I'll write this verse down. I love this verse. This is Proverbs 4:18. Proverbs 4:18. And Proverbs 4:18 says this. It says, the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. Like the light of dawn. Saints, our path should be like the light of dawn. That means we should be fresh. We should be bright. We should be living. We should be new. Saints, in Romans 6:4, I tell you, when you wake up in the morning, you need to tell the Lord, Lord, be my new beginning today. Be my fresh beginning today. I want to, according to Romans 6:4, Lord, I want to walk in newness of life. According to Romans 7:6, I want to serve in newness of spirit. Pray this to the Lord. Lord, I want to walk in newness of life. I want to serve in newness of spirit. I don't want to be old. The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter. Brighter and brighter until the full day. Until the full day. Saints, you know what the enemy does? What the enemy does with us? He doesn't just come in and turn the lights off. If he did that, we would recognize him immediately, right? He doesn't just come in and switch the lights off in our being. What he does is he uses a light, like a light dimmer, and he turns the light down just a little bit, then a little bit more, then a little bit more, and he wears away your absoluteness until eventually it's really dark in your being. But you think it's light, but actually it's dark, you see? What the Lord wants to do is he wants to turn up that light switch brighter and brighter and brighter until the day of his coming. So we need to pray, Lord, make my path brighter and brighter until the full day of your second coming. Amen. Brighter and brighter, Lord. Brighter and brighter. You know, it shouldn't be darker and darker. That's really sad. Really, really sad. You know, when I got married, I got married in Western Kansas, and I had to go to a judge. I don't know, something to do with a marriage license. But anyway, I remember I had to go to a judge in the city where we got married. And so I went to the judge, and he started talking to me. And he was a brother. He was saved. And he told me how he got saved. And it was so touching. He said that he became a fine, upstanding man in the community, you know, a judge. But he said, Ed, At one time, I was, I just used to party a lot, and I used to drink a lot. I used to party a lot, and he said one time he came home, and he was just wasted, just wasted from inebriated, you know, half inebriated or something, and he was just sitting on the couch, and finally he just laid down on the couch. He had turned the television on. They didn't have clickers in those days, you know what I mean? So he's laying on a couch, and all of a sudden Billy Graham comes on the television. And Billy Graham starts preaching the gospel. And he wanted to get up and turn off the television, but he was too wasted to do it. So eventually Billy Graham said, okay, everyone who wants to receive the Lord, come forward and receive the Lord. So he got on his knees on that couch, and he received the Lord as his Lord and Savior. Wow. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. He ended up becoming a judge. But I saw him. I still know his name. I know his name. I won't mention his name. He's a lovely brother. But I remember going, Ruth's dad used to be a pastor in a denomination. And anyway, whenever we went to visit her parents, you know, we would go there. And I remember going there and seeing him, and I looked at him in the pew, and he looked so sad. He looked so, you could tell that he lost his joy. He lost his joy, and it wasn't his fault. It wasn't his fault. It's because he did not have the church life. You see what I mean? When you are in the church life, you maintain your joy. Right away, you put your hand up because you're enjoying the Lord. If you're not enjoying the Lord, the brothers say, okay, we need some brothers to help with the chairs. You'll just go like this, you know, because you're not enjoying the Lord. When you're enjoying the Lord, you have a willing spirit for the things of the church. Okay, but anyway, our path should become brighter and brighter. Okay, then, number three is Isaiah 50, verse 4. And this verse, Isaiah 50, verse 4, speaks about Christ in his human living. Christ in his human living. It prophesies concerning Christ in his human living. And it says, the Lord Jehovah has given me the tongue of the instructed, that I should know how to sustain the weary with a word. He awakens me. Listen to this. He awakens me morning by morning. In other words, God the Father was the Lord Jesus' alarm clock. And he did not have a snooze button. He awakens me morning by morning. Saints, we need to pray, Lord, wake me up in the morning. Amen. Wake me up. Listen, pray this prayer before you go to bed tonight. I know you're going to set your alarm. But also, have God the Father be your alarm. Say, Lord, God, wake me up tomorrow morning. And it says, he awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as an instructed one. In other words, he opens my ear to hear as an instructed one. We need the Lord to wake us up morning by morning so that we can hear him and so that we can get infused with him and so that we can have the tongue of an instructed one to infuse others with him. That's Isaiah 50, verse 4. Okay, then we have the fourth one is 2 Corinthians 3:18. 2 Corinthians 3:18. And of course, many of us know this verse. This says, we all with unveiled face, beholding and reflecting like a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed from glory to glory. I like these words, from glory to glory, even as from the Lord's Spirit. So saints, our Christian life should be from one degree of glory to another degree of glory. And what is glory? Glory is the corporate expression of God. Glory is the expression of God. So we go from one degree of expressing God to a higher degree of expressing God every day. And it says, even as from the Lord's Spirit. So the Lord's Spirit, it means the Lord's Spirit is equal to glory in that verse, which means we go from one degree of the Lord's Spirit to another degree of the Lord's Spirit. That means the Lord's Spirit is added to us day by day as glory. And this needs to be our experience. Okay, number five, I forgot this. I probably should have put this earlier. Let me write this down. Exodus 23:30. What this verse says, Exodus 23:30, was that when the children of Israel went into the good land, they gained the good land little by little. Little by little. Saints, this is our Christian life. How do we get constituted with the truth? Little by little. How do we grow in life? Little by little. Saints, it's little by little. To get constituted with the truth, the tortoise wins the race. You follow me, the tortoise and the hare. You know, you have the story of the tortoise and the hare. The hare runs real fast. The rabbit, he runs real fast, and then he lays down. He says, oh, I'm so far ahead of this tortoise, I can just lay down and relax. And here comes the tortoise. And the hare is laying there, and he goes, he wins the race. He wins the race. Because in the Christian life, well, I guess that's one of Aesop's fables I'm using. But anyway, it's in the books. It's in the books. There's actually a subtitle. It says, the tortoise wins the race. Believe it or not. Okay. Anyway, the tortoise wins the race in the Christian life. Saints, that's why we need to read our Bible every day. Get into the Word every day. Little by little, call on the Lord every day. Praise the Lord every day. Exercise your spirit every day. Fellowship with the saints every day. Pass out a tract every day. You see, exercise your spirit every day. Little by little, you will gain Christ as the good land. Okay, then, number six, we have Psalm 84, 5 through 7. And these verses say this, blessed is the man whose strength is in you, God, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. You see, highways to Zion should be in our heart. Highways to the church life should be in our heart. There are highways in my heart. Highways to Zion. And then passing through the valley of Baca. Baca means suffering. They make it a spring. Indeed, the early rain covers it with blessings. They go from strength to strength. Each appears before God in Zion. Saints, in the Christian life, we need to go from strength to strength. Day by day, from strength to strength. How do we do this? Come to the local church, stay in the body, and praise the Lord. Then you will go from strength to strength. Okay. Number seven. We have John 1:16. John 1:16, I like this verse. It says, "For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace." Grace upon grace. Saints, these verses are very precious to me. We need to pray, "Lord, I want to receive of your fullness today. I want to receive not just grace, but grace upon grace. I want to receive," and grace is God in Christ as the Spirit for our enjoyment. So we need to pray, "Lord, I want to receive you as enjoyment upon enjoyment today. I give myself to enjoy you today, Lord. I want to receive you as enjoyment upon enjoyment." Okay, now we have 8, and 8 is Isaiah 28:13. Isaiah 28:13. And what Isaiah 28:13 says, "Therefore Jehovah's word to them will be line upon line, here a little, there a little, here a little, there a little." In other words, the Bible is like a jigsaw puzzle. And you can see by the outlines, we have something from this part of the Bible and something from that part of the Bible. Here a little, there a little. That's why, brothers and sisters, let me just say this. If you have not read through the entire Bible, you need to make it your project to read through the entire Bible. Even I would say that to every human being. If you are a human being, even if you're not saved, one of the greatest work of literature is the Bible. All the great works of literature are based on the Bible. Forgive me, I was a journalism major, an English major. I'm not going to tell you the classics. But all the great classics are based on the Bible. All the noble classics have a strain of the Bible in them. If you go to the Lincoln Memorial and you read the Gettysburg Address and you read Lincoln's second inaugural, it has the Bible in it. The Bible in it. The Bible is the greatest book. And it's here a little, there a little. You see, you get here a little on the triune God, you get there a little on the triune God. You get here a little on what the truth is, you get there a little on what the truth is. You get here a little on the divine light, you get there a little on the divine light. That's why we need to read through the whole Bible, through the whole Bible. Make it your project to read through the Bible. Whether it's one chapter in the New Testament every day, or one chapter in the New, one chapter in the Old, or you can do three. If you want to get through the Bible in a year, you can do 3 chapters in the Old and 1 chapter in the New. If you do that, you'll make it through the Bible in a year. And don't say you don't have time. You have time to do a lot of things. You know, it's funny. I shared this before. You know, when little boys, the sisters, I don't know how you sisters are, but you know, some sisters, when they comb their hair, they take so long to comb their hair. And then that's not enough. They have to get another sister to help them. The other sister does. And it's too long. It's too long. You're wasting time. And you could be reading the Bible. I'm not saying you should go out with your hair in curlers or anything. You know what I mean? But you can redeem the time. Sometimes we talk on the telephone too long. Sometimes we're texting, right? And what are we texting? Nothing. It's meaningless. Meaningless. "Hi, this is Ed. I'm in a meeting right now." You know, or something. I could be reading the Bible. We waste a lot of time. Am I right or not? I'm talking about myself, too. I'm talking about myself. We waste a lot of time. You know, it's funny with little boys. When they're real little, You have to tell them, comb your hair, comb your hair, comb your hair. But when they get to junior high, oh my goodness, they're... They put L.A. gel on their hair, then there could be a wind tunnel, you know what I mean? And the hair would just stick there, you know? And they take so much time. So I'm just using that as an example. Forgive me, you know? But save your time to read the Bible and to read the ministry that opens up the Bible. Read the ministry. Saints, read a paragraph a day from the ministry. A paragraph a day keeps the devil away. Even if you just read a paragraph, it'll do a lot. You believe me. Sometimes you may read a whole chapter. You may read a whole message. But if you don't have time, read a paragraph. It'll do a lot. It'll do a lot for you. Okay. Now, I just have two more verses. 9 is 1 Corinthians 14:31. And this verse says, you can all prophesy. You can all prophesy.
Amen.
And we're going to have time here in just a little bit. You can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and that all may be encouraged. So all of you can prophesy. Everyone in this room can prophesy. What is it to prophesy? To prophesy is not mainly to predict the future. To prophesy is to speak for the Lord. To prophesy is to speak forth the Lord, and to prophesy is to speak the Lord into people, into people. So you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn. Haven't you been encouraged by the prophesying of the saints? I've been so encouraged when the saints come up here, when they're lined up to the wall back here, and they come up here, and they say, Lord, make me your captive, never let me win, defeat me all the time. Three of them say it at the same time. And they go sit down. I just, oh, praise the Lord, that's wonderful.
Amen.
The Lord hears that and the Lord honors that.
Amen.
You can all prophesy one by one that all may learn and all may be encouraged. Now, what does that mean? That means to prophesy, you need to learn something first. How can someone learn if you didn't learn something first? You have to learn something from the Lord first. Then you can prophesy and others can learn. You have to be encouraged by the Lord, so that when you speak forth the Lord into them, they're encouraged. You follow me? Okay, so we can all prophesy one by one that all may learn and all may be encouraged. Finally, 10, we have Acts 2:46. Acts 2:46. And this is our church life. This is our church life, Acts 2:46. It says, and day by day, continuing steadfastly with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house. Our church life is a church life from house to house. Saints, be in the saints' homes and have the saints in your home. From house to house, they partook of their food with exaltation and simplicity of heart. So the church life is a house-to-house church life, a house-to-house church life. And it's absolutely wonderful. So this recovers the day-by-day church life. Now, I'll just read through this quickly, and then we can have some testimonies. Now, we come to C in Roman numeral 6. It says, God is to us a God of deliverance, and with Jehovah the Lord are the goings forth, even from death. When we enjoy God as our saving life, we escape death. We escape death. Isn't that wonderful? You enjoy God as your saving life, you escape death. I love this. I love this. You know, God's word brings you out of death. Brings you out of death. You remember when Lazarus was resurrected? The Lord said, roll away the stone. And they had all kinds of opinions. And Martha said, Lord, we can't roll away the stone. You know, the corpse smells by now. It's been 4 days. He said, you just do what I say. Roll away the stone. And then they rolled away the stone, and he just cried out. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth out of the tomb. Has that ever happened to you? Brother, what's your name again? Gabriel. Has the Lord ever said, Gabriel, come forth? Yes, right? You were in the tomb, right? Me too. Sometimes I feel like I'm in a tomb. And the Lord says, Ed, come forth. Then you come forth and you've got grave clothes all around you, right? Lazarus had the grave clothes around him. He had a napkin on his, on a handkerchief on his face. And then he told the ones by Lazarus, said, loose him and let him go. Loose him and let him go. In other words, firstly, the Lord's word resurrects you from death. Then his word to the brothers and sisters causes them to act to free you from all the vestiges of death, to free you from all the grave clothes of death so that you can move freely in the resurrection life. It's wonderful. Okay, D, in God's house we enjoy his victory over the enemies. Now, Roman numeral 7, Psalm 68 reveals the praising of God according to his New Testament economy. A, they have seen your goings, O God, the goings of my God, my King, in the sanctuary. They refers to the enemies, goings refers to God's activities, and the sanctuary signifies the church. B says, singers go before, players after. In the midst of virgins sounding the tambourines, virgins signify the believers, signify the believers. And saints, we need to rejoice in the Lord. You know, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11:2, I've got this verse here. He says, I betrothed you to one husband to present you as a pure virgin to Christ, as a pure virgin to Christ. Saints, the way we can tell that we are under the proper ministry is if that ministry stirs us up to love the Lord Jesus. Amen. You see, that's Paul's ministry. When you got under Paul's ministry, you were stirred up to say, Lord Jesus, I love you. Amen. And I tell you, when you read a life study, you will be stirred up to say, Lord Jesus, I love you. Amen. You know, it was so funny. I said that one time, and some sisters said, we're going to put Ed's word to the test. Let's read a life study and see if we say, Lord Jesus, I love you. So they started reading the life study, and they just forgot themselves. You know, they just forgot, you know, what their experiment was. And pretty soon, they just said, Lord Jesus, we love you. Or they just said it spontaneously. Because the proper ministry, which is the New Testament ministry, stirs you up to love the Lord. It also stirs you up to rejoice in the Lord. I've got Philippians 4:4 here. Paul wrote Philippians when he was in prison. And he said, rejoice in the Lord always. Now, saints, if you were in prison, what would you write to the saints? If you were in prison, you would text them, right? You would text them and say, get me out of here. I'm in prison. Send a cake with a saw inside of it. Or something like that. You would, I'm not a texter, you know what I mean? But now they have text. I mean, I can't believe how you guys can text. Unbelievable. You know, my fingers are so big. I just couldn't. There's no way I could do that, you know? Anyway, he's in prison, and he says a great thing. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Isn't that a great thing to say when you're in prison? But then he goes on, and he says, again I say, rejoice. And to rejoice is to pray, is to say, praise the Lord. Let's say praise the Lord again. Praise the Lord. He wanted them to rejoice in the Lord. To rejoice in the Lord, to praise the Lord, is the strength for our oneness. It's the strength for our oneness, and it's the secret of having the excellent virtues of Christ. You know, we have a hymn in our hymnal 717. I know a lot of you like this hymn. A.B. Simpson wrote this hymn. It says, rejoice evermore, rejoice evermore. It's better to sing than be sighing, right? Lots of times we find, don't you find yourself during the day, sometimes you just go, oh, right? You just sigh, oh. Listen, whenever you sigh from now on and you go, oh, I want something to come to you, it's better to sing than be sighing. Just go, oh, and then go, then rejoice evermore, rejoice evermore. It is better to sing than be sighing. It is better to live than be dying. So let us rejoice evermore. I love that hymn. I love that hymn. Okay, now, look at C. This is the center of the second section, C and D. It says, bless God in the congregations, even Jehovah. Oh, you are of the fountain of Israel. There are little Benjamin who rules them, and the princes of Judah in their company, the princes of Zebulun, the princes of Naphtali. Your God has commanded your strength. Strengthen, O God, that which you have done for us. In the praise rendered to God by his elect, there is portrayed a scenery and typology concerning God's New Testament economy in the accomplishment of God's redemption for his salvation by Christ and in the spreading of the glad tidings of Christ's accomplishment with the beautiful words of the gospel. Now let's look at this. Psalm 68:27 speaks of little Benjamin. I just had a grandson before I came here. My second boy, you know, his wife had a little baby boy, and they named him Benjamin. So I just realized right now, he's little Benjamin. I may call him that, little Benjamin. That's scriptural. Anyway, his name is Benjamin. And Benjamin, okay, we'll see what Benjamin means. A says, as the son of sorrows, Benoni. Okay, when Benjamin was born, Rachel was dying. She was dying in childbirth, and she named him Benoni. And Benoni means son of my affliction, or son of sorrows. But when he was born, Rachel named him that, but Jacob changed his name to Benjamin, Ben-Amin, which means son of the right hand. Benjamin means son of the right hand. That's Christ. He's at the right hand of God. So A says, as the son of sorrows, Benoni, Benjamin typifies Christ, who as the man of sorrows in his incarnation and human life on earth accomplished God's eternal redemption for his full salvation. As the son of the right hand, Benjamin typifies Christ, who as the son of the right hand of God in his resurrection, victory, and ascension, ministers in the heavens to carry out the application of God's redemption for his salvation. So this is Benjamin. He is ministering in the heavens right now. He is carrying out the application of God's redemption for his salvation. Now, Hebrews 7:25 says he's able to save to the uttermost those who come forward to God through him, seeing he always lives to intercede for them. Brothers and sisters, right now, Christ is praying for you. He's praying for all of us corporately. He's the only one who can pray for us simultaneously, individually, and personally, and intimately. Isn't that wonderful? He's praying for you right now. He never ceases to pray for you. In Hebrews 8:2, it says he's a minister of the holy places. So what his function is to pray for us and to minister God into us. And saints, that matches Acts 6:4, where it says the apostles devoted themselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. You see, that matches Christ's heavenly ministry, to pray and to minister God as the word into God's people. This is what we need to do. Okay, 2 says, Psalm 68:27 speaks of the princes of Judah. Judah typifies Christ as the victory for God's people, the lion with the power and the scepter, and the peace to God's people. Shiloh is peace, and the peace, Shiloh to God's people. Judah reveals the victory of Christ, the kingdom of Christ, and the enjoyment and rest in Christ. Judah, as the kingly tribe, was accompanied always by Benjamin as a warrior tribe for God's kingdom on the earth. Then Psalm 68:27 speaks of the princes of Zebulun, dwelling at the shore of the sea, which is Galilee, and being a shore for ships. Zebulun typifies Christ as the shore of the evangelists for the transportation and spreading in the preaching of God's gospel. Now listen to this. On the day of Pentecost, at least 120 gospel ships, all of whom were Galileans, set out to spread the gospel. Saints, we need to have a view that each of us is a gospel ship. And we've been launched out to preach the good news of the gospel of God to this fallen world. Now 4 says, Psalm 68:27 speaks of the princes of Naphtali. Naphtali typifies Christ as the one who is released from death and resurrection, signified by the hind let loose, and he gives beautiful words for the preaching of his gospel. You know, in Genesis 49:21, it says, Naphtali is a hind let loose. He gives beautiful words. We need to pray. Lord, I like to be a hind let loose, and I like to give beautiful words, beautiful words of the gospel to people. B, people of both Zebulun and Naphtali were men of Galilee, from whom the gospel of Christ has been spread, preached, and propagated. In typology, Zebulun and Naphtali form a group for the spreading and propagation and propagating of the glad tidings of Christ's redemption for God's salvation. So you have the accomplishment of God's redemption, and then you have the propagation of the glad tidings of Christ's redemption for God's salvation with these four tribes, with Benjamin, Judah, Zebulun, and Naphtali. Now Roman numeral 8 says, Psalm 68 reveals the spreading from the temple into the city of God. Let's read A all together. Strengthen, O God, that which you have done for us. Of God in his house, spreads to the entire city of Jerusalem. Let's read B. The house of God signifies the local church, and the city of Jerusalem signifies the kingdom, the strengthening and safeguard of the church. Now let's read 9, A, B, and C. Psalm 68 reveals the gaining of the earth for God. The influence of the enjoyment of God will gain the whole earth for God. The kingdoms of the earth are charged to praise God. The psalmist concludes by praising and blessing God. Praise the Lord. Praise God and bless God.
Amen.
Okay, we'll stop here and let's have some testimonies. We have, I think we have about 25 minutes, right? We have 25 minutes to share. So please come to the mic and share. Especially if you have not spoken, please take this time to speak something. We like to hear from you.